Late one evening, May stared at the org chart on her wall in frustration. 5 years ago, her startup was just four friends around the kitchen table. No titles, no boss, decisions by consensus. Now it had 400 employees, and chaos ruled. Teams were duplicating work without realizing it, and no one knew who was in charge of new projects or could approve budgets. In the end, May drew clear lines on a chart, creating a chain of command where there had been none. She was about to try something she once swore she'd never need: hierarchy.
You are listening to The Mammoth in the Room, a podcast dedicated to sharing science-backed leadership strategies for real-world success.
Hello and welcome back to The Mammoth in the Room, where we explore leadership lessons that stand the test of time. I'm Nicolas Bocconi, CEO of Mammoth Leadership Sciences, and today we continue our hierarchy mini-series with episode 3, Hierarchy as a Tool, Scaling Up Efficiently. We'll examine how hierarchical structure helps human groups manage complexity as they grow. You remember in episode 2, we explored our ambivalent relationship with hierarchy, why we crave order but also fear tyranny. Now in episode 3, we shift from the why to the how hierarchy used wisely allows large groups to coordinate and specialize effectively. And one quick reminder before we dive in. This fall, Mammoth Leadership Sciences is launching our online leadership academy. And the first thing we do in this academy is launching a course designed to help leaders like you to decode the psychological and biological and evolutionary reasons and traps that hold organizations back. Stay tuned. All right, let's go back where we started this episode. What happened to the free-flowing harmony May's team once enjoyed? Why would a group that thrived on equality suddenly need bosses and structure? This scenario highlights a hard truth. Beyond a certain size, flat, leaderless systems break down. Today we explore how hierarchy, far from a mere power play, serves as a tool to help groups scale up efficiently. We'll see how layering authority supports modular organization, role specialization, and complex coordination, the ingredients that let armies conquer and societies thrive. As a group expands, communication becomes exponentially harder. Anthropologists call this scalar stress, the strain of scaling up group size. If hundreds of people all insist of having an equal say in every decision, you get endless meetings, confusion, and paralysis. A modeling study by Perret et al., and again we have the videos in the show notes, showed that beyond a certain size, introducing even small leader-follower structure dramatically reduced coordination costs. In short, as groups grow, they often adopt hierarchies simply because it works better. A practical cure for the chaos of too many voices. Think of a volunteer committee that grows from 5 people to 30. With 5, everyone weighs in. With 30, that free-for-all becomes unwieldy, and decisions stall out. The group usually appoints a coordinator or a small leadership team to cut through the confusion, creating a simple chain of command. For instance, electing a chairperson. Information flows up to a few representatives, and decisions back flow down, clearly. Hierarchy funnels a noisy tangle of interactions into a clear signal. Hierarchy imposes order on what would otherwise be an unmanageable spaghetti tangle of connections. That's from literature from Grant, 2008. Now, here is an upside of hierarchy: division of labor and modular organization. Beyond reducing chaos, hierarchy also enables specialization and modularity, breaking large tasks into smaller components. Adam Smith famously observed that a lone craftsman might make only a few pins in a day, but 10 workers, each specializing in a different step of pin making, could produce thousands. When people focus on a narrow task, they become much more productive. Hierarchy makes this possible by defining clear roles and departments. Entire teams can concentrate on one function: engineering, marketing, etc., each led by a manager. That's more efficient than everyone trying to do everything. Now, hierarchy not only promotes specialization, it also means specialized teams don't have to consult each other on every decision. This illustrates modularity. A large organization is a system of subsystems, teams, departments, divisions that operate with some autonomy, and hierarchy provides a framework for them to interface. As Herbert Simon noted, virtually all complex systems have a hierarchical modular structure. We know that already since 1962, where this publication came out. For example, a kingdom is organized into provinces and an organization into divisions and teams. Hierarchy delineates those modules and the channels between them. This modular structure makes complex problems manageable and organizations adaptable. If everyone had to be involved in every discussion, think about it, nothing would get done. Instead, work is broken into chunks. One team handles hardware, another software, another marketing, and so on and so forth. Each team works independently, and their leaders coordinate through the hierarchy to ensure everything fits together. By merely decomposing projects, hierarchy keeps complexity contained within each module. Issues can be solved in one unit without bogging down the entire organization. As Simon observed, a modular hierarchy can adjust piece by piece, whereas a completely interconnected system might collapse like a house of cards if any single part fails. In the military, squads are led by sergeants, platoons by lieutenants, companies by captains, and so up to the generals. Orders flow down and information flows up through these layers, allowing thousands to act in unison. Each level makes decisions appropriate to its scope, and each unit concentrates on its speciality. Infantry, logistics, etc. A general doesn't fix trucks, and a mechanic doesn't plan battles. Hierarchy links each role to the overall mission. Thanks to this, an army of 50,000 can function like a single organism, whereas a leaderless mob of 50,000 would descend into chaos. Indeed, from ancient armies to sprawling kingdoms to businesses of today, every large-scale human endeavor has relied on hierarchy as its backbone. Counterintuitively, a well-designed hierarchy can also empower innovation at the local level by giving teams clear ownership to experiment without needing consensus. In a flat group, everyone feels they must get agreement on every change. Clear hierarchies frees people to act within their scope. But of course, hierarchy isn't a magic bullet. If left unchecked, it can create silos or bog down communication or people get corrupt. But hierarchy didn't evolve by accident or power grabs. It arose because it solves fundamental problems of scale and complexity. When used thoughtfully, hierarchy allows us to build organizations much larger and more complex than any flat structure could manage. In short, hierarchy scales. To sum up, hierarchy's strength is that it allows large groups to function as smoothly as small ones. It serves as the organization's nervous system, ensuring information and decisions flow where needed. It sets up specialized teams and departments that excel at their functions, and it holds everything together while still allowing flexibility. Rather than view hierarchy as a necessary evil, leaders can embrace it as a tool, one that requires skill to use well. By structuring our organization thoughtfully, we can harness hierarchy's efficiencies while remaining agile and human-centered. All right, this was it again for today. I know there is a lot to take in, but it's important for leaders to know why humans created hierarchies. You are potentially as a leader on top of a hierarchy, but you're also at the bottom of your chain of command going upwards. It's important to understand why we are acting like that, why humans move to that kind of human behavior. It gave us a competitive evolutionary advantage versus groups who did not have hierarchies. Establishing hierarchies is therefore an evolutionary stable human behavior. It's important to know that as we go further in this miniseries, because even when we sometimes ask for flat or flat organizations, we always need to keep in mind that even in the flattest organizations, there will be hierarchies needed if you want to stay successful. If this episode resonated, please subscribe, rate, and share with anyone who is interested in leadership. And don't forget, Mammoth Leadership Sciences is launching a new online leadership academy this fall. It's packed with insight, tools, and frameworks to help you become a more self-aware, adaptive leader. Keep an eye out. And lastly, if you're interested in more, you can order my book. It has the same title as this podcast, The Mammoth in the Room. It offers a practical roadmap how great leaders and their teams embrace evolutionary truths for outstanding business results. And it does that in 3 sections, on people, on strategy, and on implementation. Until next time, lead wisely, think critically, and don't let ancient instincts hijack your modern leadership. I'm Nicholas Bocconi, and this is The Mammoth in the Room.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoy this content, don't forget to subscribe. I'll see you on the next episode of The Mammoth in the Room.